This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to a bonus edition of Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine. I'm Joe Reed.
It's been pointed out that since I eliminated the Grim Reaper, the name Harvest House has lost some of its harvest flavor.
Ms. Fisher had settled for mounting a scythe horizontally above the entrance. On Saturday morning, exactly 1 week from Halloween, she gestured to the flatbed truck parked in front of the building.
"Let's see what we can do about that. You boys haul these hay bales out front and build a couple of scarecrows. You'll find some old clothes in those paper bags. You can use that stack of newspapers to stuff them. Then, when you're done, head up to the attic and help Kelsey set up and secure the Crossroads photo art installation."
You just heard Sean Taylor Corbett narrating Cynthia Leitich Smith's book for young adults, Harvest House. This is a golden age for literature for young readers and listeners across the age spectrum, particularly when it comes to representing the diversity that is America. And happily, there's a growing focus on the literature of Native American writers and the Native American narrators who give these stories voice. Today, we're speaking with Cynthia Leitich Smith. She's the highly acclaimed author for young readers from the Muscogee Creek Nation and curator of Heart Drum, a Native American-focused imprint at HarperCollins, and Sean Taylor Corbett, a narrator whose roots trace back to the Blackfeet Nation. Together, they share their insights on the significance of books that amplify Native American voices and the importance of representation in both writing and narration. Cynthia's YA novel, Harvest House, which was narrated by Sean, is a case in point. And that's where I began my conversation with Sean and Cynthia, by asking her about the origin of Harvest House.
Harvest House has sometimes been called a Native American Scooby-Doo because it centers on a group of teenagers who naturally have a large, bountiful dog. But it also touches on more serious themes. The origin story is rooted in a fun time, a night in which my cousin and I took our mothers to a commercial haunted house in Kansas City, a sort of Halloween fun house, the kind of place that you would go for a spooky but safe good time. And as a writer, it had stuck out in my mind the what if being, what if you went to one of these make-believe haunted houses and it turned out it was really haunted? At the same time, I was pondering whether, and if so, how to address both some of the misrepresentations of Native people, especially with regard to the horror, gothic, fantasy tradition, you know, all of those very disturbing stories of so-called Indian graveyards and Hollywood sort of run amok. And at the same time, the very real crisis around missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and our Two-Spirit relatives. So all of those different threads came together in a way that I hope is a story that is both a page-turner for young readers, shows the full breadth of daily life, and balances a bit of spookiness with also more serious real world themes that they can carry forward in a way that is more knowledgeable and aware.
Well, I think it's also so important that Harvest House also centers on a first love
a really strong family and a vibrant extended community. So it's so textured, I think, as a book.
Thank you for saying that. It's always been important to me not to ignore the challenges that our Native teens face, but at the same time, none of us are defined by the hardest parts of our lives. And showing true representation of Native teens on the page means showing them in the full breadth of their humanity, a full range of emotion and life experience, some of which are universal, some of which are tender, and certainly many of which are joyful. While there are families that have challenges, there are also those that are very healthy and functioning at the level that we would hope they would for their young people.
Well, Sean, you receive a book like Harvest House for you to narrate. What's your process? How do you prepare when you're handed a book for young adults, but nonetheless, as I said, is so textured and packed?
Yes, I just think this book is so brilliant. I read it through just as a fan of Cynthia's writing and work, and I let myself be affected by it as a reader, really, first. And as I go along, because I'm an actor, I have voices that pop up in my head or something that connects me to them. And I start to record each voice as I'm reading or something initially that speaks to me about the character and different characteristics, all the relationships. I mean, I really approach it like approaching a great film or play and how I would want to portray these characters or see them with all the intentions of the author. And it's a big responsibility for me, especially being Indigenous and mixed race and having grown up very confused with some of the things some of these kids in the book have to face in our society with different stereotypes. And also, like you're both referring to, just having a really rich layer of experiences being young and not just being defined by one thing and how to balance all those things. I think what really spoke to me were the relationships, but then also, you know, interacting with people who viewed me a certain way and not having the tools as a young person necessarily to respond to some of the stereotypes that other people have about Native Americans. I didn't have books like this. So reading this book, I was blown away by what a young audience will be able to get from this. And I think you actually do learn from this how to approach other people in talking about it and how to approach adults. But it's also just a great, exciting story that pulls you in. It's a page turner. It kind of has all the elements that you desire as a narrator. If you've done all the preparation while you're reading it, you're having the experience of it and all the emotions. And hopefully that comes across in the performance and what people hear.
Oh yeah, I thought you did a great job. I mean, well, I'm a great fan of yours, so
there
you
thanks.
Go. Did you communicate with Cynthia at all when you were getting ready to narrate the book?
You know, I think we had a few email exchanges. A lot of our communication came through the publishing company, and any questions I had, I think, you know, we talked through them, but then Cynthia chimed in and gave some great direction that they passed on to me, which really helped me out.
You also read Indian Shoes, which just touched my heart in more ways than I can say, another book of Cynthia's. And I just love that story, maybe because I'm a city girl. I really, you know, got that story. But it's also, again, something you don't see represented very often. Forget children's literature and literature about urban Native people. And that's what Indian Shoes discusses, Cynthia.
Yes, upwards of 80% of Native people today live in cities. Some of that is because of government relocation programs, but also because of employment. We live in a very mobile, modern world, and it felt like an opportunity to show kids characters who were grounded and comfortable in their identities, but also some distance away from their tribal homelands. And as you get deeper into the book, they do go home and they see extended family and come back again to Chicago. And that back and forth process is very normal for families in their situation. It's not as though they have left behind or they have in any way moved to some sort of superior world. You know, their heart is still home, but they're able to function both in a mainstream setting and in a tribal town one.
Ray and Grandpa Half Moon ordered hot dogs.
"Now, these Chicago hot dogs," Grandpa said. "They're dandy. But every now and then I get a hankering for some of that crackle-fried bacon your Aunt Wilhelmina likes to make. You know, that woman fries everything she cooks. I saw her fry a whole turkey once for Christmas, and it was sure enough some big bird." Ray bit into his hot dog. He knew all about Aunt Wilhelmina's cooking. Ray and Grandpa drove their pickup down to visit her and Uncle Leonard in Oklahoma once or twice a year. What he didn't know was why Grandpa Half Moon was thinking so hard today about Aunt Wilhelmina's crackle-fried bacon. When the wind carried a home run baseball into the stands, Ray almost caught it. Cheers filled the air, but Grandpa Half Moon didn't make much of a fuss. He was homesick, Ray realized.
Sean, Harvest House is more recent than Indian Shoes. Do you remember when you first read Indian Shoes?
Yeah, I do. You know, I was also listening back on some of the samples from Indian Shoes, and I wanted to remember some of the things I connected with the most. And I'm so grateful to be paired with Indian Shoes as well, because I grew up in Long Island, and my tribal community is the Blackfeet in Montana, which is pretty far away. And also, I didn't get the opportunity to grow up there surrounded by community all the time. Luckily, now for so many years, I've been able to go back, but I connected with the book as well because of that particular dynamic that Cynthia was talking about of living in an urban area and doing my best to also connect with my community, even though it was so far away, and that interaction and going back and forth and the identity challenges of that. It's always great to bring my younger self, as I remember those experiences, to these books, but also because of the other characters, I get to bring in some of my community members who are my elders, like in Indian Shoes, and what their desires and hopes for the future generations are, or what they miss, what has been lost due to the history of this land, and how we try to maintain language and maintain parts of our culture in our daily lives, no matter where we are. So I felt like I was able to do that. I love bringing elders into the story and then also remembering my younger self. That combination just really came to life for me on this one, too.
Cynthia, I wonder, in general, what responsibilities you might feel you have when you write for younger readers, whether it's a YA or middle grade or picture books.
I'm very aware of how deeply young readers take in story. You know, when I first got started, my focus was largely on being accurate, authentic, informative, and above all else, entertaining. Because if they don't want to turn the page, none of the rest of it is going to happen anyway. And what I found over going on some 25 years now as a published author from conversations and letters with kids is that books can really open them up to be themselves. They can validate young readers. They can expose them to new interests that have a defining impact on their lives. I've heard from kids with regard to Indian Shoes that are being raised by a grandparent. And so they see themselves in that relationship between Ray and his Grandpa Half Moon, or they have a pet ferret, or they live in Chicago, or they're baseball fans. Kids connect with books in a lot of different ways, but it can be profoundly validating to them and also an awakening. When I was in Houston, I did a school visit, and it was a program centered on freeing the young writer's voice, you know, teaching them how to write the stories of their own heart. And so I read just a couple of excerpts from some of my books as examples. A little girl came up to me afterward and whispered that she was a citizen of Cherokee Nation. I'm Muscogee, and those are tribes that are very closely located to each other that share a border. I also have Cherokee ancestors, even though I'm a Muscogee citizen. And she had family that lived next door, literally next door to family of mine, ran out of the classroom, throwing her arms up in the air, yelling to all of her friends, "I am Cherokee." You know, she was in all of her 9-year-old pride voice. And the teacher turned to me and she said, "I had no idea. I assumed she was Latina." And I said, "You know, she could be both, because so many of our kids are bicultural or from interracial families, a lot of times we fly under the radar due to the myth of extinction and erasure, because people aren't expecting to see us there. They may see a kid who to them is coded white or black or Latine and not realize that child is also indigenous.
Sean, that's something you can certainly speak to, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Growing up was super confusing. Navigating, you know, what my family dynamic is and how we communicated about it versus where I grew up and how people responded to me. And I think a lot of the times people did try to categorize, you know, it really affected me, combined with the fact that I think my family on my father's side didn't really want to talk about our cultural backgrounds at all. And so it was a very confusing time being a teenager. And I always had a desire to connect with my Blackfeet community. And my mom single-handedly took me there when I was 15 and reconnected me. And I'm so grateful for her for that. But I think reading these stories, it is both things. It's an awakening each time I get to do it, but also validating no matter what my age is. I do think it's so impactful. I mean, reading these books as an adult or a young person, they have so much depth and so much truth. I think it's so complex and some of the most powerful books you can read, you know, and some of my favorite books I've narrated have been YA novels or young kid novels for that reason, because it's just going to have such a huge impact. And also, like Cynthia was saying, they're super entertaining and well-written, and the kids wouldn't turn the pages if they weren't.
You're listening to a bonus edition of Behind the Mic. I'm speaking with author Cynthia Leitich-Smith and actor Sean Taylor Corbett. We'll be right back after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome back. I'm Joe Reed with a special edition of Behind the Mic. I'm speaking with author Cynthia Leitich-Smith and actor Sean Taylor Corbett. You know, Harvest House includes such a diverse cast of characters. Your books do, Cynthia. Uh-huh. So how do you go about ensuring authentic representation across cultures and backgrounds? And that's to both of you, both in the writing and in the narration.
Most of my books are set in either cities or suburban areas. I do have stories that take place in tribal towns, but those are very diverse too. I've always grown up in an extremely diverse community of one sort or another. If I'm working on a specific character, though, who is a big stretch from my identity elements, even if I've had close relationships within that world, I'm in conversation usually with fellow children's and young adult book creatives about that representation. Not in a cultural expert kind of way where you go and hire someone. My feeling is that if I don't have people that I would feel very, very comfortable asking and having frank conversations with about a character's identity elements, maybe that's not a character who belongs in my cast. And I need to rethink their role in the story and perhaps give it to someone who is not as far afield. If you look at my books, you'll see that my protagonists come from tribes that are represented within my own family. And secondary characters tend to come from those that are in my more immediate circle. I'm very cautious about making any sort of assumptions about my own abilities or insights, and quick to engage in consultations so long as they are mutual and comfortable and not an imposition on anyone else.
And Sean, what about you as a narrator?
Yes, if it's not a Blackfeet story, same thing, you know, over the years, just the community of artists that I've worked with and people across different tribal nations I've come into contact with, I usually, especially if there's language involved, I contact them and have extensive talks about it. And I narrated Brian Young, who's a Navajo author. He wrote an incredible
novel, Healer of the Water Monster, in a series of novels. And we had long discussions and meetings before I even narrated that, and so that he could get a sense of what I would do with the book and how I represented it, and if I could really capture through his training the language, the Navajo language that's in the book, which really takes a lot of time to really get that under your belt. It's a very hard language to speak. I wanted to make sure he was comfortable with that. So there's a lot of dialogue I have, especially with Native characters or Native stories, to make sure that we're going in the right direction after so many years of not going in the right direction. So that's really important work for me. And I'm always very careful, especially now, to ask myself, should I be doing this story? Is this the right thing for me to do? Because I feel a responsibility. I'm not just a narrator, but I'm a part of a larger movement as an artist, as an activist in the world. And it's definitely a collaborative process.
Community is key for Native authors. It's extremely important to us that our work be narrated by Indigenous voice actors. It's something that we'll request if it's not put forth immediately. And, you know, some of that is absolutely you want your cousins, however distant, to have some good work in front of them. But also because of, if you think about what Sean is saying, we know that they're going to take it to heart. And we trust them with our little siblings and nibblings and cousins to do a good job, and also to bring that, even if it's not someone from that same tribal background, that sort of kinship, sense of humor, sense of whimsy, sense of belonging. I think that it comes through in the voice. When I listened to an audio production by someone like Sean, who does such a wonderful job and is so well respected by me and my fellow authors, we really feel as though he's there and as though the story comes alive through his words, but also the emotion that's behind them, the understanding and depth that's behind them.
Well, Cynthia, let's bring Heart Drum into this. And that's the imprint by HarperCollins that you, Cynthia, curate. And it's devoted to books for young readers by Native American authors. Tell us a little bit more about the imprint, Cynthia.
Certainly. As you mentioned, Heart Drum is an Indigenous-focused imprint of HarperCollins children's books. We publish all age levels of young readers, picture books, chapter books, middle grade, and YA. And for a long time in my career, the mere existence of something like that sounded like a dream too misty for me to even begin to aspire to. And I thought, well, if anyone would do it, anyone that I would trust, it would be my original editor, who is Rosemary Brosnan at Harper. And so I reached out to her and wrote a short email. And then Rosemary wrote me back the next day and said, I love this. I've talked to everyone at HarperCollins. Let's do it. And I thought, what have we done? And I was so excited. I was dancing around my condo. I cranked up Olivia Newton-John's Xanadu, which is my go-to music from the muses, and thought, okay, we have a clear shot. And if we can pull this off, hopefully more publishers will look for Indigenous voices and visions, and we can maybe get a foothold into some significant seismic change for the better in publishing to serve the kids.
You're listening to a bonus edition of Behind the Mic. I'm speaking with author Cynthia Leitich-Smith and actor Sean Taylor Corbett. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back. I'm Joe Reed with a special edition of Behind the Mic. I'm speaking with author Cynthia Leitich-Smith and actor Sean Taylor Corbett. Cynthia, how important is the audiobook component to Heart Drum? I'd love to talk about how audiobooks are also furthering this conversation and really enabling further representation for Native American youth, for all of us, actually.
Extraordinarily important on a lot of levels. I mean, first, there's access. There are kids who primarily read best through audiobooks. There is the heightened level of the art in that it is both literary and performance. And I think when it comes to Indigenous literature in particular, so much of it springs from the oral tradition that even when it's written, there is that cadence and the voices on the page, and it comes through spoken in a way that is more accessible, not even so much to our own kids, who I think bring some of that voice. You know, they have that music of their grandparents, their great aunties and uncles, and the family, the community they carry with them in their mindset all the time. But for non-Native readers to enter the storytelling circle, it more fully welcomes them in. It gives them an access to the musicality that doesn't necessarily come as naturally to their Western ear and sensibility.
And Sean, what are your thoughts about that as a narrator of this, as the person who's giving us the oral version of this story?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just the flavor and the textures, the cadences and the sounds and the humor that happen within our communities and between family members. There's so much there. It can come through, but when you hear it, I just think it brings it to life. I have so much fun doing that. Well-written chapters, it is like I get to bring all of my friends and family members, and they all live in that way through me, and I get to perform and honor them in a lot of ways through these great words. I didn't think about non-Native listeners and audiences, but, you know, when you hear it, yeah, you get to go to that place, you know, and get a little piece of that community in a way that you could only do if you visited. So I just think listening to it, you get to do that.
It feels especially relevant when we're talking about humor. And there is a lot of humor in Native literary storytelling, more than I think perhaps some mainstream folks might expect. I actually have this theory that every people who have endured grand challenges historically have an excellent sense of humor because it's a survival skill. But humor can also be extremely idiosyncratic. And then you add that cultural dynamic to it. If someone is processing the story in front of them, it's okay if not everyone gets every joke. In fact, occasionally we may work in a nod or a wink or a little content that you're only going to get if you are from within community. And that's okay because other people are getting different levels of it. But something that having a voice to it can do is they can add a bit of that slyness or that joy or that wink in the voice that might not come through otherwise on the page.
Agreed, agreed. Heartdrum is just opening so many doors for kids, for authors and illustrators, for narrators, and for adults like me. I mean, it's such a wonderful imprint. And the ALA's American Indian Youth Literature Awards certainly thought so. Heartdrum really represented. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled that these awards exist. I'm so grateful to the Indigenous librarians for all their hard work. And, you know, this means that more kids will be exposed to these stories, which are heart healing and raise up joy.
And I have to give a shout out because you had three winners and a number of honorable mentions, including Heroes of the Water Monster by Brian Young,
yes,
that you referred to earlier, Sean,
yes,
narrated by you. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, that's right.
So that's wonderful. So to you both, what role are you envisioning for Heartdrum in advancing Native stories and Native voices? And I'll go to you, Cynthia, first, and then you, Sean.
What we'd like to say is that we are done with the days of a single star, that the Native creative community is about a constellation shining brighter together. And I know it sounds a little overly optimistic, but I mean it with my whole heart. I want to continue with Heartdrum lifting up stories centered on young Native heroes in contemporary times. We intentionally don't do a lot of certain kinds of books. You're not going to find many distant historicals from us. You're not going to find as much nonfiction because we know that there are already publishers who are doing a wonderful job with that, and we want to encourage more. What we're really hoping is that these books stop being so unusual and become more of a normal part of every child's reading diet. You know, that they're going to walk into a bookstore or library and their stack of books, varied as it may be, will include Indigenous voices, visions, one way or the other.
Well, you know, when I started, there weren't as many Indigenous narrators. Now, so many of my artist friends who are Indigenous are narrating, and it's just a beautiful thing to see, because with each narrator, there's a world of history, background, knowledge from their particular community or tribe, and then there's like a community of people in different tribes with common stories and common history, interacting with each other. And I always have a really specific goal that more Blackfeet narrators and authors and storytellers can also find their way to this work for our community out there, because I just see the effects and impacts good art, especially stories, what it has on a community, how uplifting it is. And all my mentors and elders back home, they just keep telling me that with each one of these beautiful books and stories, they're just so excited that these types of stories are more normalized. I was just thinking that the other day, you know, how cool would it be when young kids are passing in Indian Shoes or Harvest House or another book, you know, kids of all backgrounds are doing that. I'm excited for that time. And it's coming. It's happening now.
We do talk a lot about representation on the page, but it also matters behind the byline. You know, our biographies, mini bios, are included in the publications. And I remember being a young girl and thinking that all authors were dead white men from either England or New England. And the moment that it came together in my mind that Judy Blume was a girl and she was still alive and she wrote books. And no, she wasn't Indigenous, but we had this other identity element in common. And I think for me, it helped to see it, to be it. And that general dynamic is taking place more broadly. We're seeing many more young people from various communities coming up and saying that my voice matters too. I have a story to tell and it will be of interest to everyone. And, you know, in our books, our theory is that any Native kid can be a hero that everyone cheers. I think by the same token, any Native voice can inspire the next generation of storytellers to come.
And indeed, and both of you are and have been inspiring. And I so look forward to see what you're both going to do next. And thank you for the work that you've done.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Cynthia. You know, it's just so awesome to get to talk to you today and listen to you, and excited that we had a chance to do this.
Mado, my friend, I so appreciate you giving voice to my young heroes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for the heroes.
That was author Cynthia Leitich-Smith and actor Sean Taylor Corbett. Sean is the narrator of Harvest House and Indian Shoes, both written by Cynthia. You can check out other books narrated by Sean and other books written by Cynthia at audiophilemagazine.com. This has been a bonus edition of Behind the Mic with Audiophile Magazine. I'm Joe Reed. Good listening.